Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, a forever member of the Jittery Monkey podcast family at JitteryMonkey.com, but most recently added on officially as an SB Nation podcast in the SB Nation Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and by gosh, it feels good to get the tripod back together in its entirety as I'm joined by John Dam Johnston, and making his triumphant return after missing last week, it's Hoss Reuter. Hoss, let's start with you. Yes, slacker. I know why you were absent last week. I'm not gonna air the laundry here on the show, but I just want you to know you're forgiven.
Why do you think I was absent?
He went to jail.
Why? I've never been to jail.
Do you want me to go ahead and say it? I'll say it.
You were strung out on heroin again.
Never tried heroin.
I'll say it. So, as we know, a little peek behind the curtain, we usually record 8:30, about the time that, we get our son to bed, and, we and my wife, not me and you guys, we don't share a son. We recorded, the house is a little quieter at that point. So when I can send out the message to confirm the time, Haas says, "Ooh, could we do more like 10 or 10:30? I did not ask questions. I said, "Let me double check." John was okay. That's when I messaged, Reed Fuller, the assistant coach for the Nebraska Men's Hockey Club. And he joined us for a segment, and then we sat. 10 o'clock rolls. Hadn't heard anything from Hoss. 10:15, I messaged Hoss. I sent him a text message, which I had never done before. Usually it's always just through Slack. And I said, what are we looking like? How are we looking? Something like that. No response. After 10:30, our agreed-upon start time, I said to John, "Let's just roll." And so John says, "Okay." And so I was up.
He was captured by lizard people and taken to the Cayman Trench off the coast of Honduras.
Is that you, Rush Limbaugh?
Anyway, I was up doing the production, post-production, getting everything ready, 2 o'clock in the morning, and had to turn around and get back up at 5:30. And Haas sends me a message. Actually, he had to be getting ready for the gym or some silly nonsense because I was still asleep. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 4:55, I think, was the timestamp on the text. He says, "Sorry, I fell asleep, and I just now got your message."
Holy shit. What was that, Haas?
I want to hear what Haas said first.
I just want to know, so what's your accusation?
No, my accusation is that you fell asleep.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
My God, what an old person thing to do.
I mean,
John, it's the end of a college semester.
Whatever.
I'm buried in it.
Yeah, well, at the end of my college semesters, I was like, woo, woo, woo.
He was out closing the bars down, John was.
LSD and acid isn't exactly in vogue with college students anymore.
I didn't. You know what? I never needed to do those things. I was already there.
No, it was the 70s. It was probably coke. Okay.
I like how he says, "I never needed to." John's over here like, "I never needed to do those things. I never needed any of that shit.
I was already there waiting for people with inhibitions to like go, "Oh, we got to get rid of our inhibitions first."
Needed to stay up? You never needed to do homework?
I wouldn't say needed.
John Dan Johnson.
Let's just say that I wasn't probably the best college student in the history of the University of Nebraska Lincoln, but I got a degree. Nobody knows what my GPA is, and nobody cares.
Was it a 3.73?
You guys were all choppy. What's our subject tonight?
We got a lot of them. We're going to start with the news and notes that we tend to start with, and we're going to start since it's Since that season ended most recently, let's just briefly talk about the rumor and innuendo that Doc Sadler, one-time for Nebraska head basketball coach, is at least in consideration to be coming back to Lincoln as an assistant. Of course, he's been down south at University of Southern Mississippi, and it's possible that old Doc Sadler might return. What do you guys? What's your takeaway on this little nugget that we learned today?
Well, he's a great defensive coach, and he essentially functioned on Hoiberg's staff at Iowa State as like a defensive coordinator in basketball. You know, he put together defensive game plans and scouted. So I like it. You know, if he's ready to come back here, you know, work under, you know, it's a hell of a thing to take a demotion from being a head coach to being an assistant, but if that's what he wants, you know, I got nothing against him coming back.
Well, he's coming back to Nebraska. We all know how special we are.
Yeah, we are pretty special.
You know? Everybody would like to come back to Nebraska.
Yeah, it's not for everyone, but
Sadler,
those who like it. You know.
I've heard that somewhere.
I suppose that it's, you know, I found out about it as we record this on Wednesday, but it's not necessarily news that broke on Wednesday. As of Monday of this week, the Sun Herald, which I'm just going to assume is down there in the Mississippi land, had a report, and actually video in there that says, you know, it was a response from Sadler regarding these rumors. Sadler said, quote, Coach Hoiberg and I have visited about a number of people, but my plans as of today are to be the head coach at Southern Miss. There is no agreement made to join Fred Hoiberg's staff. So that was 2 days ago. We all know.
Subterfuge.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all know the money talks and bullshit walks. So we'll find out. Yeah, we'll let
there's absolutely nothing that stays secret anymore anywhere.
No, and I think that aggravates me from
message board mafia.
I want to. I'm glad you mentioned that,
John. Talked about.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, John, because you know I'm guilty of, you know, if I watch a movie or something, especially for my Nerds United podcast, I always make sure that if I'm reviewing it, talking about it on that next episode, I say, hey, you know what? We tried to do spoiler free, and then maybe we'll spend just a couple minutes at the very end, you know, giving some spoilers away. But there's so much, you know, everybody's got to be the first to report something. And to the extent that, and we see this obviously well beyond, you know, just sports journalism, but so many journalists or news outlets find it more important to be first than to be right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Loose lips sink ships.
Damn right.
Omar Bradley.
I guess I liked Doc Sadler when he was here. I mean, he was a likable guy, just like Tim Miles was a likable guy. But his team sure shit couldn't score worth a damn, but they could play defense. So I guess if he can be a defensive coordinator for Nebraska, you know, I wonder if he's going to – well, put it this way. The Nebraska media, and that would include us kind of, he's a quotable coach, so everybody would love to have him back.
Yeah.
He loves Diet Mountain Dew. Remember that from when he spoke to the media after getting fired?
No.
Talked about, I love Diet Mountain Dew.
He did have that voice, didn't he? Damn.
Oh, he was from Arkansas, man. Like, he was an Opie.
Yeah, he can return. Okay, next.
How about Danny Nee?
Him coming back?
Just get the band back together. Everyone except Barry Collier and Tim Miles. The ghost of Mo Iba and Joe Cipriano.
I don't know. I think Danny Nee would kill all the other coaches.
Dude was an infantry marine in Vietnam, probably. Well,
yeah, there you go. He was an intense guy sometimes.
Did you read that Dirk Chatelain series about Danny Nee that the World Herald did last year?
No.
Let me tell you, after reading that, Danny Nee, my kind of guy.
Well, give us a, you have to give us a synopsis now.
Well, I think it was after we lost to Xavier in 91, maybe. He was standing in the locker room getting ready to leave, and he saw the hospitality room with all the, you know, Gatorade and snacks and water for players. And he went over there, and there's a case of Budweiser. And he asked the security guard, do you mind if I take this? Security guard said, no, go ahead. Bruce Chubbuck, I think it was, or maybe it was Eric Strickland, said that Danny just took the case of beer back to the hotel and just drank it all to himself.
You know what? I can believe that because that loss to Xavier. I think I was at that game. I think they played that in Minneapolis, right? That's what you said.
Yeah, the article said yeah. Minneapolis.
Yeah, right. That I was at that game, and Nebraska just went flat. It was terrible. We were supposed to win that game. The game before us was Shaquille O'Neal's last game as a college player.
Shit.
So I saw him play, and I mean, when you saw Shaquille O'Neal in as a live human being, you were like, "How? What? This is like giants, you know?" It was shocking. But yeah, that Xavier game. I mean, I remembered one of our guys having a straight line to a layup, straight path, nobody in his way, and he just looked at the basket and turned and passed the ball, and that was pretty much the story of that whole game. We just fell flat, didn't do anything. Couldn't do anything, and I could understand how he could just drink a case of beer after that and just kind of go screw it.
Well, I pretty much did that after Melvin Gordon went 408 on us in 2014.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, what else? My introduction to Nebraska ball, though, I was probably 13, maybe 14. It was the year Nebraska beat Kansas with Brian Conklin hitting all those threes. And I started to get into Nebraska basketball, so I was asking my dad, you know, I'm 13 years old, I'm like, has Nebraska basketball ever won a national championship? And he just kind of looks at me and he goes, I haven't even won a game in the NCAA tournament before.
He didn't start crying?
He gave me the whole history of games, like the Xavier game, and told me about the Penn game in 94 after winning the Big 8 tournament, and just said how awful it was. So, yeah, that was... Like, I remember thinking to myself, do I really want to be a fan of Nebraska ball?
If he didn't come right out and just say, don't do it, son.
No, he's a J-sker, but he's the J-sker who loves Nebraska basketball and Creighton basketball.
That's kind of creepy.
Doesn't even want.
Doesn't even what?
He won't even watch the Nebraska-Creighton game when they play.
Wow.
Yeah, he loves both teams equally. I like Creighton as well, but my loyalties lie more with Nebraska basketball.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Hoss, because I know that wasn't always the tune you were singing. So it's good to hear. Welcome back to the show.
I've always said that. Okay, I just like to stir up the Nebraska ball hardliners from time to time.
Well, you succeed.
You know what? You know what? You know what?
You know what? What?
Fuck Creighton. What's going on with Mo Washington?
I'm glad you asked, John, because as of about 5 o'clock on Wednesday evening, Aliyah Conley, World Herald, Omaha World Herald, published an article, Husker running back Maurice Washington pleads not guilty in California case. We know the premise of the case. We have here that a quote from Washington's attorney, John Ball. Mr. Washington did appear in court in California today, continuing his active and responsible role in bringing this matter to a close. He will continue to be fully cooperative and recognizes that this process will take time and requires patience and persistence. He is grateful that all of his family, friends, and supporters are also committed to standing with him to the conclusion of this matter. Next hearing is May 13th. And here's the thing, John Ball might be his attorney, but John Ball is a Lincoln attorney who's not licensed to attorney in, that's the technical term. He's not able to practice in California, so he was a stand-in from the, I believe it was Santa Clara County Public Defender's Office was with Washington today. It's unlikely that a plea deal will be reached before the May hearing, and I do think it's kind of the next hearing's not until May 13th, so I mean it's a month away, or just a shade over a month. Washington's posted bail last month. He practiced with the team. Scott Frost said that Washington won't be playing in this Saturday spring game. We're going to talk all about the spring game and the roster. Rosters, I should say, here in a little bit. But a quote from Frost, said, overall, I think Maurice has done a good job trying to stick to the norm of what practice he has done. He's looked good. Washington, as we mentioned, has been a limited participant. Frost says, we're going to sit back and let the process play out and see where it lands. I mean, really, that's about all that they can do at this point, right? From the team standpoint,
they've just kind of ignored the whole issue of what actually he's being charged for or anything. They've done, they've just like, oh yeah, he's practiced and stuff, but they haven't talked one single damn bit about the fact that, you know, that I guess
what can they really say? It didn't happen when he was an enrolled student. I mean,
well, that's probably true.
Do you want Frost and Moose and our, you know, athletic department talking, you know, telling tales out of school, so to speak,
talking where they're not really.
Yeah, let it play out. Like, he hasn't been charged with any, you know, well.
He has been charged.
He has been charged. He hasn't been convicted of anything. Right. And at this point, the status quo remains until some clarification.
What do you got, Greg? What do you think?
I don't mind the wait-and-see approach, and I don't mind the, you know, active, albeit limited, but active participation approach, because if things go, you know, Washington's way, that, you know, as far as, you know, a plea deal or charges drop, however, you know, in a way that doesn't land him in prison, and he's able to rejoin the team as a full participant of, you know, Nebraska football athletics, then I want him to be, you know, ready. And so, again, I don't mind him being out there and doing the practicing, things like that. And I completely understand and agree with the coach's collective probably decision to, not play him in the spring game.
We have a lot of dead air on this one because we're like, oh, okay.
Well, I was waiting for a response. I'm sorry.
What can you really say at this point? You know, it's a disturbing thing that occurred. You know,
it is. I went on this before about I don't understand why people take videos and pictures and stuff. We should move on to the spring game.
Well, before we do that. How about a little levity from one of the young men on, you know, representing the school and the state as a member of the Nebraska football team? Did you guys see the Twitter on video? I know I shared it from the Five Heart podcast page or Twitter at the number 5 Heart podcast. But Bennett Folkers, who is a Husker wide receiver, and he. And I guess one of his roommates or something like that tied or somehow otherwise put a dollar bill on a little fishing line and flung it outside of their dorm room window, and it managed to land on the sidewalk, and they just reeled a bunch of people in, you know, who were chasing this dollar across the lawn all the way up until they, you know, got to the window where they saw all the guys in the room laughing. Did you guys see that video?
No.
Go out of your way to watch it.
That. Damn.
Go out of your way to watch it, John. If you can watch it without video, because pretty much all you're seeing or the only audio is just the guys in the room laughing. So you can pull it up and watch it while we are talking about it right now. In fact, I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to send you the link right now, John. So you just watch that Skype chat and you'll have it. You can watch it while Haas and I talk about it. It's worth a watch. Haas, what was your takeaway? Did you find that good, harmless fun, or did you find that a little mean-spirited Talk to me, buddy.
I thought it was just good, harmless fun.
Hey, man.
You know?
Hey, man.
No one got hurt. It's just for laughs. You know, as far as what college football players do for amusement in their off hours, that was pretty benign.
I think that's a great point. You know, especially coming off the story that, you know, the topic we just got done talking about. It's it's harmless. Even, you know, when the people who were chasing the dollar bill, you know, realized that they were caught and, you know, is all a gag, they laughed about it. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was offended. It was honestly kind of refreshing to see, you know, just that little kind of harmless prank on a college campus. So
yeah, I mean, they weren't stealing their fellow students' bikes.
No,
you know?
No.
Wow. You're right. It's I think it's a setup. Except for the last.
I could see I could see some self-righteous, pretentious, you know, undergrad getting real butthurt about it, sure. But, you know, it's all in good fun.
I mean, can they get... Now, let me... Straight up, if it was a $100 bill and they were chasing that and they, you know... I mean, what is the monetary amount that, you know, you're like, oh, well, you're getting... you're taking it too serious, you know, type of thing. What can you assign, you know, is that a 50?
If it was a $100 bill, I would scale the fucking wall of that building.
Right. I mean, but that's my point / question is, you know, at what point is, you know, do you know you really take it serious, and the fact that you're, you know, hurt and or offended that you didn't get that, you know, dollar or that
I mean, I wouldn't be hurt or offended. I'd just be like, damn,
got away.
They got me.
I think I've told this story before. If not, it's worth it. And this is only related in the fact that it's money that got away. When I was doing sports, you know, sports director up at Shadron, and I'm 21, 22, 23, and I'm living paycheck to paycheck because, you know, there's no money in small town radio. I'm not ashamed to say it. I went. Put my paycheck in the bank, which was literally a block over from the radio station, but it was cold, so I took my car. And when I was foolish, and I kept a 50 out, a $50 bill. And instead of putting it right in my wallet, I put it in my pocket, same pocket that I have my car keys. Took the car keys out.
Oh, rookie move.
Drove away. Never saw the $50 again. It up and vanished like a fart in the wind. I was young and dumb. What can I say? So anyway,
I was trying to find a reason to be offended, like by this as an old person.
Get off my lawn!
Can't do it, can you?
I don't really find any. I was trying to think about what we did when we were in college that would be cruel and mean, and I'm coming up with nothing. I just, holy crap! Do you know what's happening?
What's happening?
The off season is setting in on me already.
It can't.
The darkness is coming.
I think now is a great time.
You know what? Even though it's the week of the spring game, I know the hell that lies beyond the spring game until August 31st.
We're going to talk all about the spring game, the rosters, and things that we're, you know, looking forward to. And things we don't want to see after
Greg,
we take.
I swear to God, if you ask me what I hope to get out of the spring game,
that's all coming up after we sell a little bacon.
Right, bacon
on the Five Heart Podcast.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Greg Mahochko, John Dam Johnston, Haas Reuter here. Spring game is
extravaganza.
Well, I was going to say it's upon us. This Saturday, hard to believe, but this Saturday, the spring game will be played. Of course, Memorial Stadium kickoff at 1 o'clock. You can watch it live on BTN. You can listen to it on Husker Sports Network. Huskers.com, TuneIn app, yada, yada, yada. Okay, let's get going. Now, do we have – we're not there yet. Obviously, we're going to – not necessarily player by player because not everybody matters. I know that's horrible to say. that is.
You're going to hell now, son.
Adrian Martinez, the quarterback for the red team. Look at probably Andrew Bunch as the main quarterback for the white team. Backups, Noah Vedra will also be on the red team, while Matt Mosker will be quarterback on the white team. And
yes.
Thank you. Luke McCaffrey will play for both teams. He'll don both the scarlet and the cream, if you will. Obviously,
how does that work?
Hmm?
That's just weird.
Well, didn't Tristan Jebbia do it a few years ago?
Yep. Boy, that's... That feels like a distant name.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. That was the Tanner Lee year, was it not? Because he came in and played outplayed everybody.
Tristan Jebbia.
So we
you know, for speaking of transfers, let's talk. I just want to touch on this for a quick second. Since Tristan Jebbia, Greg Bell, and Tyjon Lindsey, and Avery Roberts all left, I literally have not given any of them a second thought. At no point last year, like after Greg Bell left, I think. Man, wish we had Greg Bell still. Like,
well, no, and that makes complete sense because at that point he was being outplayed by Divine Ozigbo. You know, if we didn't,
exactly. You
if,
know,
if we didn't have a solid number one, then his loss would have been felt a little bit more, I think. But
true.
Well, I got to say that after I shot the Troy game, and after I left the stadium, there were still quite a few people tailgating, and I went around to some tailgates and asked them what they thought of the game. And there was a guy who just went off on Tristan Jebbia and called him many names, really nasty names, like quitter. I mean, you know, you can be called a fucking asshole, but don't ever call me a quitter. You know what I mean? Mm. So he was very upset that Tristan had chosen to leave our program. But you're right. After that, I mean, he really just kind of went, well, they're gone. Goodbye. Especially Greg Bell. You just kind of went, okay, I guess we really, you know. And then Tyjon, we have J.D. Spillman, who played well. And I don't know. You're right. Good point.
Yeah, Tyjon never showed anything. You know,
He didn't. Now, that being said, do you think that in this offense, he could have shown more? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he played in four games last year. He really didn't show it. The only thing I remember from him last year is having a dumb block in the back penalty on a long pass to J.D. Spielman against Purdue that negated the play, and we had to end up punting.
I see. That's remarkable that you say that. I thought, honestly, that he left before the season started. That such is my, you know, memory or where he...
He made an impact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, such as it was his impact in my mind that I didn't even realize he was, you know, with the team at all. So anyway, let's move on and talk about Huskers that are Huskers today. We mentioned Maurice Washington not playing in the spring game. Will Honus, not quite there yet. Wandale Robinson, Haas, I think Haas, maybe John, mentioned that he would not be participating in the spring game. J.D. Spielman as well, Jack Stoll, Caleb Tanner. Tate Wilderman, We're just going to go down the list. It's going to be faster to go down this list than either of the
wait
two
rosters. Wait a minute. Jack Stoll isn't playing?
Correct.
I'm disappointed that Wandale Robinson isn't playing because I really kind of wanted to see him.
I wouldn't risk anything with his hamstring, though.
Well, I get that, but, you know, it's still disappointing. And Stoll, I'd like to see that guy play, too. I mean, whatever you get the chance to see these guys get on the field, it would have been nice to see. But I realize it's a glorified scrimmage, and it's the only thing we have between now and months.
And we covet it.
Bring that up on glorified scrimmage. I've had so many people this week ask me, What do you hope to see in the spring game? Nothing. Just no injuries. Like, if you're going to the game or if you're watching on TV, sit back and just enjoy, you know, watching a practice. There's nothing to be gleaned from it.
Yeah, but we have to go over every second of it because that's all we have.
I mean, for crying out loud, last year, Adrian Martinez. His deep passes were wobbly, and I was thinking, oh boy, it might be a long year. You know, he's our starter. Running ability is great, but the passing, yikes. By the time the season rolled around, his arm was fine coming off that shoulder injury. So you can't take too much away from a spring game. I mean, for crying out loud, Tanner Lee looked like Drew Brees in the 2017 spring game.
He did.
Do you guys want to hear the...
Dropped a nice...
He didn't look like that.
Time to be speaking on flop fade.
Yeah.
Do you guys want
to hear... But
it's all we have. You know that we have to overanalyze the spring game because people need content. And literally, they need content. If you say Nebraska football, then they go, what's going with it? And you go, gravel that looks like grape nuts. And then they eat it anyway, even knowing that it's gravel.
Hell, like I've always said, between the spring game and by the time 4th of July rolls around, I talk myself into we're going all the way. Even though right now I'm saying 8-4, anything more than that's gravy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, you answered what do you want to see out of the spring game. You know what I want to see out of the spring game?
What?
Lots of good photography because we need shots of people. We don't have any good shots of Eric Chenander. Our Scott Frost shots are getting old. You know, I mean, we can pull them out. I love photography, so I really want to go out and perform well. I want to perform well myself. You know, last year, Mario
has an unlit cigar hanging out of his mouth on the side.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the kinds of things we need from coaches. I mean, last year, who was the guy that left? The D-line coach, Watson?
Mike Dawson.
Dawson. That guy looked exactly like Tony Soprano.
Right now, watching The Sopranos. Great show.
You're supposed to be doing a podcast and giving us your full attention.
Yeah, Hoss.
Not right now.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Fine. But that's what I want out of the spring game.
What I want out of the spring game? A nice Cornhusker Hotel breakfast buffet on Saturday morning.
Are you going to be down there?
I am.
Oh, well, we should meet up.
You buying drinks?
I might do that. Not before.
Put on the Coronation credit card.
I miss out on everything.
Such a thing could exist.
What does it say? John D. Johnston on it? It's your personal card.
Well, it should. Okay. What else, you were going to go down the roster. What are you talking about? What are we doing?
I was trying, but you guys decided to continue having your conversation. Yeah. So for the white team, as far as running backs go, they get Miles Jones, Jalen Bradley, Moses Bryant, Corbin Ruth, A.J. Forbes. Nope, that's not it. A.J. Forbes is an offensive lineman. But I searched for RB, by position, and Forbes popped up. And then the red team gets Austin Hemphill, Connor Ruth, Brody Belt, Wyatt Mazur. So I think...
Well, it sounds like the Nebraska Shrine Game roster.
Preliminary indications tell me that a red team gets the QB advantage while the white team gets the running back advantage.
Preliminary indications tell me we're going to be an air raid team this year.
UCF in 2017, their leading rusher was Adrian Killens with about 700 and some odd yards. They had Otis Anderson and Greg McCray got hurt, but they chipped in, you know, I think McCray had about 300-400 yards and Anderson had about 600. Then Mackenzie Milton ran the ball a lot. That was a quasi kind of air raid team. You know, they ran the ball with the quarterback and the running backs, obviously, but they really aired it out.
I can handle that.
I have no problem.
Be okay with me.
Yeah.
I know they
like,
say
I can't wait to see Iowa linebackers trying to chase Wandale Robinson and J.D. Spielman on crossing routes. Like, that's going to warm the deep darkness of my soul.
Oh, the cockles of your heart.
Whoa, easy
yes,
slugger. Speaking of wide receivers, the white team gets Javon McQuitty, our Fishing for Fools friend, Bennett Folkers, Christian Banker, Brandon Robbins, Justin Holm, Ty Chaffin, good enough, Wyatt Lure. But the red team gets Todd Honus, Jaron Woodyard, Cade Warner, who I anticipate will make his presence felt once again in 2019, Andrew Thurman, Mike Williams, Andre Hunt, and Jamie Nance. So when you take away the J.D. Spielmans and the Wandale Robinsons, honestly, the wide receiver core is kind of a mess.
It's just group thin.
What's that?
It's a little thin.
It is.
Kind of a mess.
It's a little underwhelming.
Oh, come on now. Now, you guys, the positive side of this, the guy that wanted to be drinking the Kool-Aid and selling the Kool-Aid to other people to drink it would be going, it's just an opportunity for one of those guys to step up and start making plays.
Well, I'm talking like as it stands right now. I mean, it'll change as the season gets closer. But, you know, with guys like Demaryius Houston and what's his name, Dylan Chase getting on campus. But right now it's kind of like, shit.
What about Mike Williams?
Great blocker.
Jerome Woodward?
Runs fast.
I'm really excited to see what a healthy Javon McQuitty could do. I've been waiting for that for a couple of years. So.
I have too. I don't want to be disappointed.
What about that Warner kid?
I hear his dad's pretty good.
Nice possessed receiver, real gritty guy, coach's son, brings the lunch pail every day.
Here's another one for you.
Kid Warner.
You have that down.
I'm just saying, when you lose like Stanley Morgan, you're like, wow, like Stan was a lot of production. You know, when J.D. Spielman's not in the lineup, you lost a serious weapon.
By the way, Todd Honus and Will Honus, no relation.
I thought they were cousins.
I mean, they might be, but Todd's from.
You like had to be related.
No, they are. They are cousins, Greg.
Are you? You know, you say it with enough confidence, and I'm likely to believe you. Are they really cousins?
Yeah, they are cousins.
Okay,
that's why they talked about that. That's why Will Honus chose Nebraska.
Oh.
One of the reasons.
Well, fantastic.
John, at like 1:30 in the morning, Saturday into Sunday, are we going to find yet like the brass rail?
No, God, dang, I'm too old to be out doing that kind of shit anymore.
Let's talk about
you're not going to wow them with tales about brokering peace talks with you know Mexico
Monaco
in
Bacon.
1948.
Let's talk about the Haas's favorite. Or let's get in the trenches and talk there. And again, it doesn't matter what the rosters are because we'll probably see everybody on Saturday and we're not going to learn anything. But this is fun. Deshaun Neal and Vaha Vainuku are going to be suiting up for both teams, probably not at the same time. Damian Jackson will be on the white team. Ryan Schomer, Chris Walker on the white team, Finn Anderson, Colton Feist, Ben Lingenfelter, Casey Rogers, Brant Banks, all on the DL, or almost said disabled list. You can't even say that in baseball anymore. Anyway, all on the defensive line for the white team. De'Andre Thomas, Carlos Davis, Ben Stille, Khalil Davis, Damian Daniels, Darian Daniels. All your heavy hitters are all suiting up for the red team. And if you didn't need, if you needed any more evidence that the red team was the A team, sorry, white team guys, but Caleb Lightbourne is the punter for the white team. And that's really all you need to know about the hierarchy of the players. Fair? Wow. Fair?
That's another guy. Ever since he got benched, I totally forgot he was on the team.
That's kind of sad.
A little bit. I don't know what was worse, his one-yard punt against Minnesota in 16 or the botched onside kick against
It was the botched kick.
He gave us a lot of memories, that's for sure. None of them real great.
Okay, so go back to the trenches.
Well, we're only on one half of the I think when you get Damien and Darian Daniels, Khalil Davis, Carlos Davis, Ben Stille, De'Andre Thomas, I mean, those are the names we're going to hear the most, and they're all on the red team.
Yeah, those are the guys who have a seat at the table.
Yeah. Chenander's rotating in defensive linemen and he and what's his name?
Tuioti.
Thank you.
Tony Tuioti.
On another Husker podcast that I like to listen to, they had a contest to see who could say it the most times the fastest. And I think the big tall nerdy guy won. Tony Tuioti. Yeah, those are the guys who are going to be rotating. I'm sorry?
That Pat Jansen's a hell of a guy.
Damn right he is. Anyway.
I'm still strong and tweeting.
Those are the guys that you're going to be seeing primarily on the field this fall. Makes sense, I think, to get them, you know, kind of in a rhythm, you know, as far as working together. I have no problem with that side of things being a little one-sided. Does that make sense?
That just means the white team's going to get the ball out fast and a lot of run shitloads of screens and draws.
Okay.
Yeah, white power. Oh, wait, what?
What?
No, I can't.
Oh my God.
Can't. Nope. Nope.
I was hoping someone caught that.
Can't go with you that. Nope. Just no.
That was a joke. That was in poor taste.
It was a joke. It was in poor taste. Shame on us for laughing.
Oh God.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, just edit that out.
We all know. Anybody who listens to this show this far knows what's a gag and what's not. So for offensive line, I think this will also be just as telling. You have John Raritan, Cam Jurgens, A.J. Forbes, Bo Wilson, Will Farniak, Matt Farniak, Trenton Hickson, Brendan Hymus, and others. Christian Gaylord are all on the red team. Christian Gaylord, Will Farniak, guys like that are going to see it from both sides.
Well, they got all of them.
Yeah, not all of them, because there's Matt Sichterman. There's Brock Bando, Nick Verka, Mitchell Ballinger, Brian Perez.
Those are all the guys that need to prove something.
I know. And what better way than going up against the first team defensive line of Damian Daniels
true.
And Khalil Davis, you know.
Very good point. What do you think of Cam Jurgens?
I'm excited to see him. I'm really excited to see him.
I mean, I'm not ready to call him Dave Remington, but he's got the tools to be a good center.
Are you ready to call him Cam Jurgens, though?
Well, that's his name, of course. I'm just saying, like, if he could be even, let's say, John Garrison, I'd be relatively pleased.
What if he could be John Johnston?
That would be horrifying for everyone.
John Johnston as a center going up against a Big Ten nose guard. Yikes. John, I bet you'd do a lot of cut blocking.
Fuck yes, I would. That's all that would exist. And then I'd be you'd dead in three plays.
So I Googled just for fun John Johnston football. And the really the only thing that I could.
There's a DB for the Rams.
Hmm?
There's a defensive back for the LA Rams named John Johnston.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the Rams. Honestly, the first result that popped up was English soccer. But for John's, in John's defense, this particular John Johnston, according to this video that I'm not going to click on, but the title says John Johnston's unbelievable goal against Skelmersdale United. So there you have it. John Johnston.
Was it in 1959?
No, because he's only 24 years old.
Oh, well, I guess that wouldn't be in 1959.
So,
did you get
okay.
stationed in London for your duty?
Hey, here's some good news. Really good news. With under a minute to play, the Blues have a 2-1 lead over the Winnipeg Jets in game one of their Stanley Cup playoff round. So, moving on. I mean, how deep into the weeds do we want to go? I mean, do we want to? We talked about everybody except linebackers, I think. They sure are split up amongst the two teams. I don't know. I'm getting tired of looking at these names.
You know, other than Mo Berry, we don't have linebackers.
That's not fair. We don't have linebackers
yeah,
that are.
I agree with John. You know, I want to see Tyron Ferguson step up, build off of last year. Will Honus isn't playing. Nick Henrich isn't playing. So.
But
linebacker is a little bit of an unproven commodity. But I mean, there's guys like Colin Miller.
Situationally speaking, there's also, I mean, we talked about this guy a couple weeks ago, but JoJo Doman, you know, that's an, but you know, I don't think we're quite now granted, are we deep with experience? No. And I do admit that, but I don't know if we're quite as thin as you guys fear we are. We have maybe some untested, but I think that there's some good talent.
Well, that's what I mean by thin.
Okay, lacking of game experience. I got you. All right, that's fine. I can go with you on that. I will walk that path.
We have a lot of guys that have LB attached to their name, and they are breathing and have a pulse.
That's fine.
That's where we're at, the linebackers. You can say neat things because it's spring, like, you know, he's, well, the old step up, going to be a playmaker kind of thing. But, you know, come fall, I hope this, you know, that's the probably the group that has to probably improve the most for us to get beyond 6-6 or 8-4.
Yep, pass rushers and linebackers.
Yeah.
I'll go one more thrown in that category. Potentially. Yeah, pass rushers, linebackers. We need a solid and stable offensive line, which I think we saw aspects of it, you know, last year, but at the same time we lost, you know, Tanner Farmer to graduation. But and we're going to need to see some more production out of the wide receiver corps. Looking at it now, I mean, because, you know, J.D. Spielman, Wandale Robinson, incredibly talented, incredibly athletic, and Cade Warner, as you mentioned, fantastic possession receiver, but most of the other guys are untested. Then you get into the running back room, and, you know, depending on Maurice Washington's, you know, availability, you're looking at Wyatt Mazur as kind of your most seasoned running back. I'm not throwing the season away, but there are a lot of areas that are thin on experience.
Well, two things. Number one, you got Dedrick Mills showing up in the fall in the running back position. Number two, and possibly the biggest thing is that Scott Frost's offense is set up to make wide receivers successful, even if they're not necessarily great players.
As long as
we have a quarterback that can get them the ball accurately and on time in their routes, we could have some guys that maybe are let's say not mediocre, but above average, we will still have a really good offense.
Yeah, this is like the Mike Riley, Danny Langsdorf offense where the concepts are pretty stale and it just relies on guys being able to get separation, from DBs. Like Frost is going to be able to scheme guys open by formations and, motions and different concepts.
And we'll probably, let's go back to your thing about
screens.
Let's go back to your thing about what you want to see at the spring game.
Yes.
Let's go to the offensive lineman thing. Last year, we didn't do a lot of polling, did we?
We did more last year. We did.
Yeah, but not a lot.
I would especially.
We pulled a lot. The play where the tackle pulls around, we ran a lot. We ran inside traps with the guards, counter with guards and tackles pulling, pin and pull with, any play side lineman who wasn't covered by a down defender pulling. We probably pulled more than we actually just, lined up and ran like inside zone.
So we're going to see tons, shitloads more. We will see more of that this year because they know the offense better.
I would say
that's the thing. Like Danny Langsdorf didn't pull a lot in 2016 because he didn't trust the lineman to pull. But Frost, that's such a big cornerstone of his offense that, we went out there and we pulled linemen almost every play. I remember in 16, if we pulled a lineman, it was like, holy fucking shit. We just ran counter. We just ran power. Now it's like, yep, we're pulling a tackle. Yep, we're pulling a guard. We're pulling both guards on our buck sweep. So, hopefully they'll be better at it this year because our polling was pretty bad early in the season.
You're going to actually say something, Greg, before we cut you off 400 times.
I forgot what I was going to say. No, I was just going to say going back to John, your original question is that they were polling exponentially more in 2018 than they were in any of the years under Mike Riley.
Well, yeah,
it was a very generic answer. I couldn't get too far into the weeds like some people, because some people are a lot more intelligent regarding offensive line schematics than I am, and that's fine.
We probably pulled more in this past season than we did in three seasons under Riley combined.
That's what I just said. That's literally what I just said. You know what? That's it.
But he has that kind of slow draw with him.
You have a
radio announcer voice. He has that. I saw you buck sleep and a top hole and a pin and pull the tackle.
Well, I'm gonna tell you about that country cover three.
Well, yeah,
it's like syrup dripping out the side of your mouth.
You're gonna be a fantastic old man someday.
Oh, if I make it that far.
Is this where I say that thanks to Blue Chew, I'm not pulling anything anymore?
No.
You're selling that now?
No.
No, but
we're
should.
Not selling that yet. It's still, there's a long off season.
By the way, good people at Blue Chew, if you want to pay us to talk about your fine products that I haven't actually ever used, that's just a joke. Then feel free to email or send us a message or tweet us, you at Blue Chew. No, that's serious. Quit laughing, Hoss. It's not something I've used.
Pays the bills, don't it?
I'm telling you, this is hand to God, put my other one on the Bible. I've not used it.
We believe you.
Yeah, it's okay.
You're doubting me real hard. Okay. The only thing I know about it is what I hear from some of the wrestling podcasts that I listen to, when they talk about it a lot, and they get paid.
Really?
Probably. Well,
I'm sure all those old wrestlers need it after years of steroid. You shriveled their nuts.
Well, it's not the wrestlers. It's like the guys behind the scenes, like the Eric Bischoffs and things like that. So if you want Blue Chew success stories, listen to 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, because holy cow, it's like writing into the penthouse or something. It's a, I'm not going to say graphic, but he gets into some details about when he's been away from home for a few days, and he pops a blue chew, and in 15 minutes, he and his wife are ready to go. Because it, you know, because it's chewable, so it hits the bloodstream faster. Anyway, I know way too much about blue chew. So I listen to a lot of podcasts in my day. So that's it for our show, everybody.
I hear they're handing out samples at the spring game.
Greg will get a few for you and
thank
overnight
you.
It.
It may be a dry campus, but not in that way.
Remember, I can only go by what I hear, so this is all secondhand. But apparently, it's the hottest item in wrestling, based on it's not just necessarily for the old guys, who typically Viagra and whatnot were always marketed to, but for younger guys who want to up their game a little bit,
Up
in your game, the young guy means lifting heavy weights and eating halfway decent.
Or you could take a little blue chewable and in 15 minutes give your gimmick the hot tag. That's all I know. And that is it.
I would have thought the hottest thing in wrestling, this is how far out of touch I am with wrestling. I thought it was like railroad spikes and folding chairs.
Well, not so much railroad spikes, folding chairs. Are still a thing. I'm guessing, John, that you didn't watch WrestleMania this past weekend?
No, I didn't.
You really?
I watched basketball.
Well, I didn't watch any tournament action. I'm officially not. There's a NCAA tournament ban in my house until Nebraska's in the tournament. So 2020, we're coming for you. But no, it was a historic WrestleMania for the first time ever. A women's match headlined the Showcase of the Immortals. It was fantastic. So I encourage anybody to spend $9.99 a month and get the WWE Network. It's well worth the money. So,
Haas, do you watch that stuff?
I do not. I do have a passing interest in 80s and 90s wrestling.
I've talked to Haas about the Pritchard
Show. I will say that from memories from my past, one of the nights that I missed the most that my friends talk about was the night they did Jello wrestling, I think at a bar in either Kearney or Grand Island. And I regret the fact that I never Jello wrestled in my life.
Or that you never wrestled, or that you never watched Jello wrestling?
I never wrestled in Jello, nor did I see it.
So I'm curious. I have questions. Were these intergender Jello wrestling matches, or were they male versus male?
I think they were male versus male.
Then I do not want to participate in your Jello wrestling.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
So, that's your wrestling world update and your blue chew spot that we're not getting paid for. And that is your episode of the Five Heart Podcast this week. We've had a lot of fun. Hope you have too. And we're going to have some stuff to talk about after next week with the spring game, because that sure will be a glorified scrimmage that we're all going to watch. And we'll break it down, because that's what we do. Also next week, and this is news for my comrades, Keith from Coronation is going to join us to talk about baseball, Husker baseball. That is in the works as well. So we're excited, because Keith nobody follows Husker baseball like Keith, and we're excited to be able to talk some Husker baseball with names like Mojo Haggy and other Husker baseball players who don't have nearly as memorable
Aaron
names.
Aaron Polinsky.
Thank you. Who's the relief pitcher who always pisses it away in the end?
Oh, my God, Robbie Pauker. You guys just they're mean to him.
Well, we're going to find out.
On the other hand, his ERA hasn't been that great this year, and I guess.
I think Keith was celebrating over this past weekend when Pauker's ERA went from a 6 to a 4-something. And
no,
so
it went from 10 to like 6, I think.
Well, even better. That's more yeah. points of movement. So
yes.
I just heard a door open, and I didn't know anybody was downstairs. So I'm going to go investigate that. Otherwise, I think my house is haunted. And that's it for our show. We appreciate you all for listening, sharing, downloading, rating, reviewing on any platform or on the convenient embedded players that are available on Coronation.com and JitteryMonkey.com. For myself, Greg Mahochko, for Haas Reuter, for John Dam Johnston, we remind you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go big Blue Chew Red!
Win the damn scrimmage.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.